Hey, you know, got a lot of questions today, so if it sounds like a shopping list, I'm trying not to make that way. But first things first, the new offices, everybody getting used to that? I mean, that's it's a heck of an improvement.
Yeah, it is. It's working out real well. I think we've got our stuff all moved over and files organized. I finally found my stapler after 2 weeks of moving, so I'm all good.
It's amazing how important that stapler is, isn't it?
It can be missed.
Some jobs just paper clips won't do. You know, what I find interesting, Mike, is I'm talking to a friend, and he's a Carbondale resident, and he came over to eat at one of your restaurants, Red Lobster. And he says, so I'm over at Red Lobster at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night in Marion, in Red Lobster, you get the idea of the location. He says, the place is cars, businesses, packed. He says, and I go back to Carbondale, and it seems almost vacant. I mean, but it's a testament to what's going on in Marion right now. I mean, you get four or five new restaurants. Marion's growing. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of people go, what's the secret?
Well, the secret is in my opinion, is you just try to create the environment. There's a little bit of a misunderstanding that we specifically recruit a specific restaurant or business sometimes from the city level. That's not really true. But we do try to create the environment and lower the barriers for people when they do want to come here. So there's a great saying that I ran across the other day. It says, if you chase butterflies, you'll just end up chasing them away. But if you tend to your garden, you'll attract the butterflies. So that's the way we look at it, and we just try to create that environment that makes it welcoming to new businesses, current residents, and visitors alike.
But here's the thing, Mike. You have to do that consistently, consistently, because businesses don't look to, they're welcoming for 2 years. It has to, I mean, businesses think on longer scales. It has to be an ongoing effort, I think.
Sure. Well, Marion's had, of course, well before I got here, a history of being welcoming to businesses and friendly to businesses, and so that's paid off over the years, no doubt about it.
Now, here's one for you. I'm curious about your response. If I do an interview with the mayor of Carbondale, you know, at some point or another, the SIU is going to come up, right? There's a synergy between the university and the city. Is the Marion VA Marion's SIU?
Well, that's a truly fascinating question. Something I hadn't thought of before in that context, but I think it probably is, and actually pretty good segue into something I wanted to talk about this morning. But yes, the VA, it's interesting because the VA's been here long enough that it's sort of blended into the background, but I don't think most of us truly appreciate not only the economic force that it represents, how many people that it employs, but the DNA that presents to our community, just how many people come here because of the VA. Maybe they are some of the ones visiting those restaurants, too, in hotels, for that matter.
I ran into two guys. One had driven a friend, and he was alone. I'm saying, where are you from, buddy? And he's Evansville. I said, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah.
He said, I just drove my friend. He's going to be here. He's got tests all day. I'm eating, going to hang out for a little while while my friend has his tests at the VA from Evansville, Indiana.
Well, I am so impressed with the leadership cadre at the VA. Now, it's changed in the last couple of years, and they are so engaged and so all about it in serving their veterans, and they've engaged with the city more so than ever to try to bring more and more awareness, not just to that the VA is here, but suicide awareness, for example. They just had a symposium out at the pavilion on that for veterans, and they're really, really reaching out and expanding those services, all of which is good for our town. But interestingly, that you asked this question, because one of the things that we're working on with the VA and others in town is to really take our Veterans on Parade that happens every September. This will be the 20th year of that, and that alone is a celebration in of itself, that Ed Davis has pioneered that for so long here in our town. I think you were on the forefront of that back in the day, were you not?
I was. I helped start that with Ed almost 20 years ago. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Ed's looking towards retirement, and we're hoping to I say retirement from this. He's been retired for a while, but we're looking to honor that 20-year history and amp it up a little bit as he pays tribute, as always, to the Gold Star families. But we're kind of making
in what
around
way?
It. Well, and we're calling that Marion Stands with Veterans. And so it'll be a hopefully a larger parade. But some other events, and one of them I wanted to mention, which is very unique, is an organization that's a nonprofit based out of Chattanooga that's called Freedom Sings. And what they do, Tom, is they pair professional songwriters with our local veterans, current military personnel, or their families, and help them tell their stories through a song. And so in a very typical workshop or session, the songwriter will listen and encourage them to sort of lay out their story, their puzzle pieces, if you will, and together they arrange those into verses and choruses, and then they result in a complete song that they can call their own. And so that workshop will be on Friday, September 6th. There'll be a performance that evening and another one the day of the parade on September 7th. So there's a lot of other events surrounding that, including a free concert that we're trying to arrange and hold on the square with a reasonably big name performer. And we're very excited working on that now with a lot of different veterans groups here in Marion and the region, and we're looking to have an even bigger and better veterans event in September.
And, you know, that's a thread, though, that runs through Williamson County Veterans Airport, Veterans Overpass. You know, yeah. I mean, it's the veterans, and it's interesting because I'm doing a, it's been many years ago, I'm at the University Mall, we're doing a writing campaign for troops overseas in the first Middle East wars, some number of years ago. And it was interesting because, like, Elkville's got, like, 250 people that live in it. Well, at the same time, they had 20 people we were sending letters to. I think what veterans represent and the fact in a rural area, you'll see a lot of people, you know, go and sign up, just like my brother did. That, you know, recognizing that thread that runs through your community and honoring it, I think, is it's a character builder. It states who you are. It defines you.
Well, I think it very much does, and one of the reasons that I like this event and to honor our veterans is, you know, from all the things we fight about in our country and disagree on with policy and everything, this is one of those that I think almost everyone can agree on, and it spans every generation that's living. And I think it's just a great thing to honor those that have defended our country and defended our way of life, and that's what we want to accentuate here in Marion.
I just saw a text come in, says Marion VA covers 5 states, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Missouri.
That's right.
When you think about veterans as students and that analogy between SIU and the fact that it's been there decades, I think very often, you know, there's a trait, you know, to, and I don't think it's malicious in any sense, but kind of take things for granted. And when you look at that facility and the immensity of it and the people it serves, you know, it's one you don't want to forget.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I, like I said, I think it's blended into the background over these years, and we're hoping to be more mindful of that. And they are, like I said, I'm so impressed with their leadership out there. They want to be involved not just on their campus but everywhere in the community, and they've already demonstrated that. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing for Marion. I love the analogy that's Marion's SIU. That's a really fascinating way of looking at it.
All right. Now, so here's another one for you, Mike, and it doesn't happen very often, but a tragedy in Marion with the loss of a city worker, Mike Miller. 52 years of age. It's just shocked.
Yes, that happened a month ago today, as a matter of fact, and it was a terrible day. It was an accident, certainly, and the truth is I don't have the accident investigative report back from Illinois State Police, who was investigating that, but I do believe it's an accident. And Mike was a wonderful man by all accounts for everybody that worked with him, and he is sorely missed by his work family, and they are traumatized by this, but his sweet family is, of course, mourning and terribly traumatized by it as well. And so my thoughts really have been with them, and for everybody that's listening out there, if you would just take a moment and in your own way, say a little prayer or give some thoughts their way, I would appreciate it, because they're suffering, no doubt. And we sure are thinking about them.
You know, did see a video placed on social media this weekend talk about rebuilding the Tower Square. Saw the video posted by the Nashville KFE saying we're going to get to it and get this. It had the photos of the inside damage. It's the first I'd seen. Uh-huh. Looked like they had their work cut out for them, but to say they're going to get it done.
Yeah, the basement, I believe, is where that started. It was, again, don't have that. I haven't seen an actual report from the fire marshal on that yet, but we got pretty good video of it, and from that video, it's pretty clear to me that was electrical in nature. Since you brought this up, let me mention something. This, because this transcends every community. We were so lucky because a passerby at 5:20 in the morning saw some sparks coming out from the power meters out there hanging on the side of the building. Had it not been for that person stopping and pulling off to the side and taking the time to call the fire department, and it had not been for some very tactical and correct decisions on the firefighters' part when they arrived as to where they went in the building first, we would have probably not only lost that building but the whole block. And so this is a way of saying if you see something, report it. It would have been, there were other people, frankly, that just passed right on by. They didn't make that call, and I'm so thankful I reached out to that person that reported it, and it's a good lesson for us all because minutes matter in these circumstances, particularly in some of the older buildings. But, yes, it's going to take them a while to rebuild that building. The basement is pretty damaged. The rest of it is just some smoke damage, is my understanding, a little bit of water damage. But they are going to rebuild, and we'll look forward to that happening.
All right. Now, you said minutes matter. So that's going to take me to another subject that I'm working on. And my first town is going to be Marion. I haven't got a name for what I'm doing yet, which is bothering the heck out of me. So for the sake of our conversation, we're going to call it Narcan for Canines, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The idea being to raise money with our listeners to buy each of your four police dogs in Marion their own trauma kits that will be dog-specific, and then a stretcher and a supply of Narcan, both for nasal use and injectable, because if anybody with dog experience knows, dogs don't like it when you put things up their nose. Working on that project, and Dr. Troop, who handles the care for the Marion police dogs, Mike and I were talking on Friday, and we're, the materials are being vetted. I've waited a long time to use that, Mike. But he is vetting these materials so that we can, that we'll be able to then train the officers. So the Narcan for our testing and making sure it works, and the stretchers are in, according to Mike. And we're working on getting the medical kits. And then Dr. Troop has offered to give training on all this material and making sure it works good. And Marion's going to be the first one. We haven't set up the location, which is going to be online. Working with Marion Police Department, so you're going to be the first beneficiaries of that program.
Well, that's wonderful. As you, I appreciate that, Tom, very much. As you know, this Narcan counter agent to these drugs is critical, and like you said, minutes matter. If you come in contact with any of these drugs, particularly fentanyl, it is deadly quickly. Even if you just touch it. And so I don't think I had thought too much yet about the canines and their exposure to it, so I really do appreciate you bringing that to the forefront, and I'm sure you'll take this to other towns as well, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Micah, I'm going to do Carbondale, and then I'm going to come back and do Williamson County, and then also we're going to invite anybody with a service dog that works in police, drugs, Department of Corrections, canine units for law officers to contact us, and we'll do the same for each respective community. At least that's my plan, if everything goes well. Here's a note that just sent in on the American Monument text line. It says, would you please ask Mayor Abshire, I'm curious, what's going on with the Star Bonds project? How much revenue will it generate? Has it start? Where's it at?
Okay, so where it's at is we are meeting with the bond underwriters, so that there's a process that has to be gone through to actually sell the bonds. As of January 1st, the state started setting aside any revenue that currently exists in the Star Bond District, both the state share and our local share, into a special account. And by agreement with the Illinois Department of Revenue, we need to bond for the first phase of the Star Bond's vertical construction, the stuff you'll start to see by 180 days from there, so say June 30th. So that's what we're working towards, is underwriting of the bonds, and that's just where actuaries and all the specialists in that field determine what the revenue streams are supposed to look like and what that means for our bonding capability, in other words, how much we can borrow, so that they can then sell those bonds to the bond market. And that's exactly where we're at, and I would suspect prior to June 30th, we'll be ready to issue those bonds, and then you'll start seeing stuff popping immediately.
What do you think's next for Marion? I'm wondering, you know, and I keep thinking about this, you know, I was talking to John McPeak, gateway to, you know, the Shawnee National Forest. Well, we're in Marion, our own gateway to the Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge and the Shawnee National Forest. And then you've got, you know, a ball team. You've got a growing retail area that draws people across the your regional shopping hub now, where people would drive many miles to go to Evansville or Paducah. Now you just got to go to Marion. I mean, what's next, Mayor? I mean, do you have a vision that say, this is what I want? I mean, a new manufacturer? What are you thinking?
Well, it's a little of all of that, actually. I don't think there's one silver bullet for any communities. I think it's a ecosystem that you have to create. All of those things, the retail, manufacturing is a component of it, obviously. The tourism is a big component of it. As I've said on your show and many other places, I think all communities need to band together and promote everything that's south of 13. In terms of the Crab Orchard National Wildlife Refuge, the Shawnee National Forest, all of the tourism that can be promoted from within those venues. And then we have to continue to work on things like affordable housing and maintaining our streets and sewer and water systems and all the mundane things that people don't necessarily see day-to-day but are super critical as far as the infrastructure component. So it takes... It's kind of like the Johnny Carson skit where he's spinning the plates and you've got all of them spinning at one time and you've got to keep them all spinning. And that's what it's like. That's what economic development, in my opinion, is like, is just keeping your eye on every ball and keeping them all in the air at the same time.
Marion Mayor Mike Absher. Mike, really appreciate your time this morning.
You bet, Tom. Thank you.
Well, I guess we should mention Boat Show this weekend.
Yeah, that's a great event that'll be happening, and hope everybody turns out for that. And that's just another example of how many, if you start counting how many lakes we have in our area, and that we need to bring people here and bring their boats, buy those boats, and use our lakes. And so that's one more event that will help with that, I believe.
Marion Mayor Mike Absher.